You're listening to Radio Hangar, where the aviation conversation never stops. I'm Vector, and this is Cleared Direct, the show where we dig into aviation technology, separate the signal from the noise, and try to figure out what's actually going to change the way we fly. Today, we're tackling a question I get asked constantly: electric flight. Where are we really? Not where some startup's press release says we'll be in 2029. Not where some venture capital pitch deck promises. Where are we right now today in early 2026? Who is actually flying electric airplanes? And what can those airplanes actually do? Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. If you love aviation, check out their gear and apparel at AviationSoul.com. Good people, great stuff. All right, so here's what most people miss about electric aviation. The conversation is usually dominated by the flashy stuff: air taxis, electric regional airliners, autonomous sky highways, and look, some of that may come. But while everyone's been watching the concept videos, a handful of companies have been quietly putting electrons through propellers and logging real flight hours. Let's start with the one that's been at it the longest: Pipistrel, now part of Textron eAviation. Their Velis Electro is, as of right now, the only type-certificated electric airplane in the world. Full type certificate from the European Union Aviation Safety Agency, or ESA. Not an experimental, not a special condition. A type-certificated production airplane that happened back in 2020, and it still stands alone in that category. Think about that for a second. 6 years later, it's still the only one. The Velis Electro is a two-seat trainer based on the Virus SW-121 airframe. It's powered by an E811 electric powertrain putting out about 57 kilowatts, which works out to roughly 78 horsepower. Max cruise is about 90 knots, and here's the number that matters most: endurance, with reserves is about 50 minutes. Realistically, you're looking at training flights of around 40 minutes with a comfortable reserve. Now, 50 minutes. That's not a cross-country machine. Nobody's pretending it is, but for pattern work, for basic training maneuvers in a practice area close to the airport, it's doing real work. Flight schools in Europe, particularly in Slovenia, Italy, Switzerland, and parts of Scandinavia, are using these for primary training sorties right now. They're logging thousands of hours. The operating cost per hour on electricity alone is dramatically lower than burning avgas. We're talking single-digit euros per flight hour for energy. The motor has far fewer moving parts than a Lycoming or Continental maintenance. Intervals are longer. Noise footprint is remarkably small, which matters enormously at European airfields where noise restrictions can shut down training operations entirely. So that's the certified world. One airplane, doing one job, doing it reasonably well. Now let's move to the experimental and in-development side, because that's where the action is. Bi Aerospace, based in Denver, has been flying their eFlyer 2 prototype for a while now. It's a two-seat trainer, conceptually similar to the Velis Electro, but designed from scratch as an electric airplane rather than being a conversion. They've claimed cruise speeds around over 130 knots and endurance targets of roughly 3 hours with the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, Instrument Flight Rules Reserves. Those are target numbers, not certified numbers. The eFlyer 2 has been flying as an experimental, and they've been working toward FAA-type certification. But the timeline has slipped repeatedly. They initially talked about certification by 2023, then 2024. As of now, they're still working through the process. The FAA doesn't have a well-worn path for certifying electric powertrains, and that's a real bottleneck for everyone, not just BI. They've also got the eFlyer 4, a four-seat version aimed at the air taxi and short-haul market. That one is further behind. Here's what I want you to understand about the certification challenge. When Pipistrel got their EASA certificate, they were working within a framework that EASA had been building specifically for electric propulsion. The FAA has been slower to establish equivalent standards. Part 23 reform helped simplify the overall certification structure for small airplanes. But the specific means of compliance for electric powertrains, battery safety, thermal management, failure modes of high-voltage systems in flight, that's still being written in many cases. Every company pursuing FAA-type certification for an electric airplane is partly writing the rulebook as they go. That takes time and money. Let's talk about eVAsion. Their ALIS is one of the most ambitious electric airplane programs out there. It's a 9-passenger, all-electric commuter aircraft, twin pusher configuration. They flew the ALIS for the first time in September of 2022 at Grant County International Airport in Washington State. That first flight was about 8 minutes long. They've continued flight testing since then, extending the envelope gradually. The ALIS is designed for a range target of around 250 nautical miles with a cruise speed in the neighborhood of 220 knots. It's powered by two Magnite 650 electric propulsion units from Magnikes, each producing about 640 kilowatts. That's over 800 horsepower per side. The battery system is enormous, around 8,200 kilograms, which is roughly 16,000 pounds of batteries in an airplane with a max takeoff weight of about 16,800 pounds. Let that sink in. The batteries are nearly half the airplane's weight. That ratio tells you everything about where battery energy density currently stands. Eviation has orders from companies like DHL and Cape Air. But certified entry into service keeps moving to the right. They've been talking about late 2027 or 2028 now, and given the pace of certification, that's optimistic. Magnets deserves a closer look because they're approaching electric flight from a different angle. Instead of building a whole airplane, they build the motors. Their Magni 350 and Magni 650 have been flying on various testbed aircraft, including a modified de Havilland Beaver and a modified Cessna 208 Caravan. That Caravan flew in 2020 with a Magnix motor, making it the largest all-electric commercial aircraft to fly at the time. These are short demonstration flights, not operational service, but they prove the motors work at meaningful power levels. The Caravan conversion is particularly interesting because the Cessna 208 is a workhorse. It's the backbone of short-haul cargo and bush operations around the world. If you could electrify a Caravan with enough range to cover even its shorter routes, say 100 nautical miles, the economics could be transformative, but we're not there yet on battery energy density. And that brings us to the fundamental constraint. Batteries Jet A has an energy density of roughly 43 megajoules per kilogram. Current lithium-ion batteries used in aviation applications are around 200 to 260 watt-hours per kilogram. Let me convert that to an apples-to-apples comparison. That's roughly 0.7 to 0.9 megajoules per kilogram. So jet fuel has about 50 times the energy density of current batteries by weight. Even accounting for the much higher efficiency of electric motors versus turbine engines, you're still looking at a massive weight penalty for electric power. The data tells an interesting story when you look at what's needed. Most industry analysts agree that batteries need to reach somewhere around 400 to 500 watt-hours per kilogram at the pack level, not just the cell level, before electric flight becomes practical for anything beyond training and very short hops. There are labs achieving higher numbers in the cell. Solid-state battery developers like QuantumScape and Solid Power have demonstrated cells above 400 watt-hours per kilogram. But lab cells and flight-rated battery packs are very different things. You need thermal management, you need structural packaging, you need redundancy. Pack-level energy density is always meaningfully lower than cell level. The good news is, the trajectory is real. Battery energy density has been improving at roughly 5 to 8% per year. That's not a hockey stick, but it's steady, and it compounds. If that trend holds, we could see 400 watt-hour packs within 5 to 7 years. Now, there's a bridge technology that more companies are quietly embracing. Hybrid Electric Ampere, based in Los Angeles, has been flying a hybrid electric modified Cessna 337 Skymaster they call the Electric EEL. One engine is conventional, one side runs electric. They've also been working on a hybrid version of the Twin Otter. The idea is to reduce fuel consumption by 30 to 40% while keeping the range and payload that pure electric can't yet deliver. This isn't as sexy as full electric flight, but it might be the thing that actually reaches airline and cargo operations. First Heart Aerospace out of Sweden had a similar realization. They originally designed their ES-30 as a 30-seat all-electric regional aircraft. Then they pivoted to a hybrid electric configuration, adding two small turbogenerators for reserve power and extended range. That was a pragmatic decision. They looked at the battery roadmap, looked at what airlines actually need, and said, "We can do this sooner and more usefully as a hybrid." United Airlines and Mesa Air Group have placed pre-orders. The target entry into service is around 2028 to 2029. Let me also mention the eVTOL space briefly, because that's where the most money has gone. Joby Aviation, Archer Aviation, Lilium before their financial restructuring, and Wisk Aero, which is backed by Boeing. These are all building electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, essentially air taxis. Joby has logged over 1,000 test flights and has been working with the FAA on type certification for their 5-seat aircraft. Archer is building a manufacturing facility and targeting commercial service. These aircraft have ranges in the 60 to 150 mile class and are designed for urban and suburban hops. But here's my honest take. The eVTOL sector has consumed billions of dollars and a lot of attention. And as of today, not a single one has achieved FAA type certification for commercial passenger service. Joby is probably closest, but they've been closest for a while now. The regulatory path is genuinely hard. The airspace integration questions are genuinely hard. The infrastructure build-out for vertiports is genuinely hard. I think some of these will reach the market. I also think the timeline is longer, and the initial scale is smaller than the investment pitches suggested. So let me bring it all together. Who is actually flying electric right now? Pipistrel Velis Electro, certified in service. Training flights in Europe. Real hours, real operations. Several experimental and test aircraft from companies like Bai Aerospace, Eviation, Magnix, and Ampere. Flying but not in commercial service. Pushing the envelope, gathering data, working toward certification. A constellation of eVTOL prototypes flying in test programs, but still pre-certification. And behind all of it, the same physics. Batteries are heavy. Batteries are getting better, but they're getting better slowly. The first electric airplanes to matter commercially will be trainers and very short-range aircraft. The next wave will likely be hybrids. Full electric regional transport is a decade out, minimum, unless there's a step change in energy storage that nobody currently has on their public roadmap. Does that mean electric flight is overhyped? No. I think the trajectory is real, and the destination is real. Quiet, efficient, low-maintenance electric powertrains will eventually change aviation. But we're in the early chapters of a long story, and intellectual honesty means saying so. If you're a pilot wondering whether this affects you today, the answer for most of us is, not yet. But if you fly near a European training airfield, you might hear the quiet buzz of a Velis Electro in the pattern. And that sound, or rather that near absence of sound, is the future arriving, slowly, carefully, one training sortie at a time. Today's segment drew on reporting from AveWeb coverage from AOPA, data published by EASA and the FAA, press materials from Pipistrel, Eviation, Magnix, Bai Aerospace, Ampere, Heart Aerospace, Joby and Archer, and energy density research from multiple battery technology publications. As always, Radio Hangar is AI-generated content made by people who love aviation, and every claim we make is grounded in publicly available sources. You can find more about the show and our source notes at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector. Thanks for flying with me today on Clear Direct. Go read about this stuff. Form your own opinions. That's what good pilots do. Radio Hangar, Clear Skies, and Tailwinds.